Well, the death of a beloved dog, a cat, or other pet can be heartbreaking. I've experienced it, and I bet you may have as well. But knowing how to care for an animal nearing the end of its life is important, and on the show today, we're going to be talking about those difficult decisions with Dr. Carrie Donahue back with us once again. Carrie is the owner of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia. That's a big title,
Carrie. That is a big title. Yes, it is. I do a lot of those things.
She does indeed. Works out of Madison, the Madison area.
That's right.
And provides holistic and alternative pet care. And if you have lost a pet recently, you know that experience. Maybe you could talk about what that experience was like for you. And we'd love to hear from you as we talk with her about how she helps so many people when it comes to an end-of-the-life decision for their pet. And you can join in. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. You know, somebody was asking me, I wonder how Dr. Carrie got into this. You were a practicing vet, and still are a practicing vet.
That's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But how did you get into this side of things?
That's a good question, and something that I never really saw myself getting into when I was in vet school. When I was listening to you and Tricia on the air calling all pets, that got me through vet school and provided so much good information on pet behavior. I can't even tell you. So anyway, but really, when I first started practicing in a clinic, the first clinic I was at, one of my clients asked me to come to her home to euthanize her dog. And it was really out of the blue for me. It was something that I didn't really realize that veterinarians did. So this was back in 2009, 2010, when I first started out. And I went to her house and I euthanized her pet, that client and patient that I had known for a long time. And I realized what a beautiful experience that was. And so ever since then, I've offered home euthanasia to my clients and patients, and it's kind of turned into a full-time career for me at this point, and it's a big, big part of what I do.
And you, of course, you're in Madison, so I assume you have many clients in Madison.
Madison is, yeah, big dog and cat town. It almost seems like everyone has a pet in their household. So I'm kept pretty busy, and I provide services in about an hour and a half radius from Madison. So do a lot of traveling, house calls only. So just going into people's homes and helping their pets at the end of life.
In so many instances, for a pet, going to the vet can be a traumatic experience every single time, even
Absolutely.
Though they've done it their whole life.
Oh, I know. I know. And that's what I think. Going into a clinic at the end of life for that euthanasia appointment can oftentimes make a difficult time even harder. And so if we are able to provide care in home where a pet is more comfortable, that, I think, is such a gift to be able to give. Even the car ride into the clinic is so hard to do. So this makes things a little bit easier. You know, for pets, really not many good things happen at a vet clinic. So, you know, it's easy to see why it would be a distressing and stressful situation for them to go at that time.
So you offer different types of end-of-life options for people, do you not?
Or? Yeah, well, the main thing that I provide is the in-home euthanasia, but also a really big part of it is talking to people through these situations and providing hospice care, providing palliative care support, and really giving people ideas and support and comfort at that time so that they can make the best decisions for their pets.
So when you talk about hospice care, mm-hmm. give us some examples of that.
Yeah, hospice care is really providing comfort care to pets when you know that they're either faced with a terminal illness or they're at a point in their lives where they're facing difficulty and you know that things aren't going to get better for them, but you're not ready to make that final decision for them, but you want them to be comfortable and you want them to be able to enjoy the days that they have left. So a big part of hospice care is providing pain and comfort support for them. And there are a lot of different ways that that can be done, and that's what we spend a lot of time talking to people about.
And then you can provide that. Maybe it's medication.
Maybe it's medication. Maybe it's pain medication. Maybe it's something like alternative medicine. Acupuncture is wonderful. Massage, laser therapy, chiropractic care, all of those things can come into play at this time. And that's what we talk to people about, and we provide some of that. And we also refer people back to their primary veterinarian if they're able to provide those things.
Wow. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, it's great to have her with us today as we talk about end-of-life pet care. And I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have an experience to share or a question. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Sarah emailed to say that Dr. Carrie provided end-of-life care for her beloved cat in April, and your compassionate care gave Sarah's family a beautiful experience for which they are grateful.
Oh, my gosh. That is so nice. That is so meaningful to hear. Thank you so much for writing in. That means everything to me.
What other ways do you help and support the pets and their people?
Mm-hmm.
Go through the process a little more.
Oh, okay. A lot of times people will either call or email or text us. And I would encourage any of your listeners, if they're faced with kind of these end-of-life decisions, to not hesitate to reach out to myself, my team. I work with a wonderful veterinary technician named Autumn, and she does a lot of counseling for people. She's certified in grief care and support. So we provide kind of support to pet owners before the process and also after the process. So kind of talking through what things they might be seeing with their pets and what they might be able to do to provide that comfort. And if they're not able to do anything, then kind of coaching them through the end-of-life process.
And you, even to the point, I think you care for the animal after it's passed. And so, I mean, provide
Oh, absolutely. We provide cremation services to pets afterwards, too. So we can transport pets to the cremation facility, and we offer all of that as well. And if people need support, I mean, going through something like that, it's so heartbreaking. And a lot of times you're able to hold it together for your pet before and during, but then after, it really starts to, you know, hit you, and you can go through a really difficult time. So that's what we're there for as well, providing that grief support.
George in Janesville has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, George. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm wondering what it costs. A lot of people can't afford veterinary care today, and it sounds like this is unfortunately a service just for the wealthy.
Oh, that it's really available to everyone, and we provide a lot of different options that make it accessible to everybody that needs it. You can choose to just have the service, the home euthanasia, or like I said before, too, you can always call us and just kind of talk through if you need help just making that decision. And we go steps further and provide the cremation, and that does add on costs, but we really try to make it accessible for anybody who desires to be in home with their pet at the end of life, that they are able to do that.
Yeah. George, thank you for calling. You can join in, too. Maybe you've got an experience to share about your own pet or a question about your pet. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234. You could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks so much for joining in today as we talk about difficult pet care decisions with Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Hospice and Euthanasia, works out of the Madison area, probably within an hour's drive of Madison. She will help you out when it comes to your end-of-life concerns for your pet. Again, the number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Stan had a question about the knowing if your pet is in really serious pain. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to figure that out.
Oh, it's the hardest thing. And I think a lot of times pets don't want us to know that they're struggling, and they don't want us to know that they're in pain. And they put on this front because in their mind, you know, they're our protectors and it's their job to take care of us. So they don't want us to know that they're struggling. So they try to hide it. And that's also just an instinct that they have. So it is difficult to know when a pet is in pain. But they do show us different signs that we can watch for so that we can kind of get an idea if they are painful. Of course, watching them move around. Are they having difficulty lying down or getting up when they are sleeping? Are they having difficulty doing stairs or jumping up? That's a big sign that they might be painful. Is their appetite starting to go down? That's another one that we see, and that can be a sign of pain. A lot of times if they're struggling with pain, they're not as likely to eat a full meal, and they might not be as likely to interact with us or be so willing to go on a walk or snuggle with us, and really kind of all of the things that you've seen in your pet that they love to do and their normal behaviors. If some of those start to change as they get older, a lot of those can be indicators that your pet is painful. And luckily, like we talked about before, there are a lot of things that can be done to help with pain. There are a lot of great medications out there and different therapies. However, at the end of life, it typically comes to the time where pain is not able to be controlled by medications or by different therapeutics. And that's when you really have to start thinking about making the decision.
Stan in De Pere has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Stan.
Yeah, hi. I had a 10-and-a-half-year-old golden doodle named Max, and he died on the operating table the Sunday before Father's Day. And just want to briefly share, he was totally healthy. Never sick a day in his life, had no idea he was sick, tons of energy, eating well, affectionate, no problem. And then he woke up in the morning on Sunday, couldn't even get on his feet, wouldn't eat anything. He would drink a little bit of water if I brought him the dish, but literally, I thought he must have had a stroke or something. Mm-hmm. And since it was a Sunday, there's no vets open. My vet wasn't open. Nobody was open. So finally, I found one 24-hour place in Appleton. So bundled him up in the car, carried him to the car, hauled him down to the emergency, the only one within probably 100 miles that was open, and did an ultrasound, and vet came in and said, well, there's a large hidden tumor between his spleen and his liver that burst. And she says, you have two options. We could put him down, you know, right now. She goes, there's probably about a 75% chance it's a cancer, but there's a 25% chance it's not cancer. She goes, or we can go in and do emergency surgery right now. It'll be $8,000. What do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, I looked her in the eye. So, well, if this was your dog, what would you do? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, she goes, it's interesting. This is basically what just happened to my dog. And I went in there and we tried to take care of it. He still passed away. So I pulled out my credit card. I said, do whatever you need to do. You know, I promised my dog I'd take care of him. So you do it. And so they went in there. It was worse than they thought on the mm-hmm. ultrasound. Mm-hmm. It had burst. And he was bleeding faster than they could give him new blood, mm-hmm. right? So she literally called me up from the operating table. She says, well, we're not going to be able to save him. Do you want me to put him down? Well, I go, well, what's the alternative? She goes, there really isn't one. So put her down, and then I didn't want him cremated, so I brought him home and buried him with a ceremony and all that fun stuff. But yeah, it's really hard because, you know, you love your dog to death. And but did I do the right thing? I don't know what I honestly don't. I think I did the right thing.
Oh, you absolutely did the right thing, and I'm so sorry for your loss, and it makes it almost harder because there was no warning. You just didn't know, and it happened so suddenly, and you had to make all of these decisions in the difficult heat of the moment, but you absolutely did the right thing by your dog. And that's all that matters. That is all that matters. And following, you know, the advice that you were given by the veterinarian, you couldn't have made another choice. So you did right by your dog, and I am so sorry for your loss.
I am as well, Stan. And I agree with what Dr. Carey just told you. You did the right thing. And thanks again for calling. Bob in Kokana will give you a chance. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. And by the way, Larry, we're going to miss you.
Thank you.
You're leaving. And it's a suggestion I wanted to maybe run by your guest. The last dog I had, she was going downhill, and then one day she was just in extreme pain. And I called the vet, and they couldn't get me in till the afternoon. And I said, well, how about some tranquilizers or some, you know, whatever they give a dog. Mm-hmm. And I went and picked up a few pills. And to have her put down. And I'm thinking if I ever have to take another dog in, I would ask for that medication first, which really calmed the dog down. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think that is actually a good idea. And, you know, that kind of makes you think how, and I try to say this too, how important it is to plan ahead. Mm-hmm. And, you know that your dog is getting older. You know that they might be starting to fail in different ways. As much as you can to try to think about how you might want the end of their life to be, talking to your vet about potentially getting some of those medications, some of those either anti-anxiety or really strong pain medications. So if you are faced with a dog in the middle of the night or in the morning that's not able to get up and you're not able to have them seen right away, you have those resources and you kind of have a plan in place. And if you're not able to see anyone, you can at least provide pain relief so that they're calm and they're comfortable until you are able to get them seen.
Bob, thank you very much for calling. Ann in Medford, your turn. Hi, Ann.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. And that last question was point on for what I'm looking for. But just a little bit further. So I'm a relatively new pet owner who has an older dog. She's about 14-year-old border collie who has very a lot of hip arthritis. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, how do I know about when the end of life is near? What kind of signs would I look for? Because I don't know if I know if she's in pain or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and this, it's the hardest thing. And especially if you are a new pet owner, you might not have gone through this before. And yeah, a lot of people will say, oh, you're going to know when it's time. They'll tell you when it's time. And I think there is truth to that, but you really have to pay attention for the signs that they give you. And you said there is arthritis there. I think probably the biggest thing would be the mobility. And if it gets to the point where your dog is having difficulty getting up, like the caller ahead said, when his dog wasn't able to get out of bed, I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons I get called to do end-of-life care. It's because the pet isn't able to get up. So, of course, that would be something to watch for if your dog is trending towards that. And the other difficult thing at this time is that there are so many ups and downs. They could have one day where they're not able to get up. They just sleep all day. And you think, okay, well, maybe it's time. I should start looking into this. And then the next day they jump up and they eat a full meal and they're running around. And that's what can really make this difficult. I think it's important kind of when you're at that with a 14-year-old dog, when you're at that point, starting to keep track of good days and bad days. And that can make such a difference, because when you're in the moment with them, you might have a bad day and the next day might be good and you forget all about that bad day. If you can keep track of over a week's time, over a month's time, if the bad days are outnumbering the good days, then it's time to kind of make that plan, get that plan in place for end-of-life care. One thing I want to mention, there is an app, and it's called HOSPET, H-O-S-P-E-T, and that helps owners with kind of quality of life and making the decision and keeping track of those good days and bad days. And you input the information, and you can go back and look at it and at any time and kind of see how many good days there have been and what the trend is for your pet.
Oh, and what's the name of that again?
It's called HOSPET.
HOSPET.
H-O-S-P-E-T. So it's a newer app that I just found, and I thought it looked really great.
You know, I was talking to Dr. Bill Stork, who's a veterinarian in Lake Mills, and he was telling me about a dog that was, you know, going to die, and mm-hmm. it had very bad days. But then it would have a good day, but then it'd have very bad days. And the end was getting near, mm-hmm. and he asked the owner, and the owner said, well, not today. And then she brought the dog in, and the dog was having a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that's the day.
That's the day. Isn't that, it's so powerful, and it's something that I really think is important, because you do have those ups and downs. And I think when you start to notice that the downs are getting lower, they're getting harder for your pet to come out of, and those good days are getting less and less, that's when you can make that decision on a good day, when they're feeling good, when they are themselves, when they're 100% themselves and they're interacting and they're enjoying you and they're enjoying their life. I really think there is truth in that is the day to make the decision so that there are no more bad days.
Carrie, I understand you have a question for me.
I do. All this talk about pets. So my question to you is, now that you're retiring and you will presumably have more spare time, will you be welcoming any more pets into your life to take up that time?
Well, I have two cats right now, Coco and Tiger, and they're getting up there in age.
They are, right? How old are
18.
They? 18. Oh, my goodness, Larry. Wow.
And so I don't want to bring another...
No, you're right. Yes.
Pet into the, but if there's a time when they're both gone,
mm-hmm.
I would even be thinking about a dog. I cared for our dog sat Lila, who's a Staffordshire, an older dog, mm-hmm. and I think at some point I would like to have a dog like mm-hmm. Lila, mm-hmm. An older dog. And I think I'd really enjoy that.
Oh, I bet you. I bet you would, and I bet they would.
Yeah. And you have pets of your own?
I do. I have two Australian cattle dogs, and they, you know, but it's always in my mind. Oh, could we take in a third dog? You know. There's always room for one more, but oh my goodness, they have a lot of energy, so they keep me busy and they bring me up on those down days for sure.
Well, that's the same way with Tiger and Coco. They can be sometimes I can get irritated with them,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but most of the time, you know, when I go to bed at night, one's on one side and the other one's on the other side to begin the evening, and then he crawls over me. And usually about the time I'm just falling asleep.
That's what they do. They can sense it right when you're about to fall asleep, and then they make their move, and they get comfortable, and then it all starts.
He goes over, and Coco climbs over me, usually around my head, and walks over to Tiger and sits down, and they sit together overnight.
Isn't that special? And, you know, that's one of those things because, like you said, they're getting older, so you're going to be faced with some of these decisions, hopefully not anytime soon. But if you can always, in a really dark time, bring some lightness into it and remember those things that they do, the laughter that they bring to us, the joy, all of those wonderful memories, that's what it's all about.
Carrie, it's been a pleasure over these years. We've done this together for a long time, and I want to thank you so much for being with us for one last time with me. I hope you'll come back and be with Lee.
I would love to, but Larry, it's been such a privilege. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you so much for this and for everything that you've done for all of us who are listening. It's been a good run.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, owner of and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller.